Name's Willie Shand, and I was born on the 8th of November 1956. I've been writing for the People's Friend now for almost 25 years. My first love was photography, landscape photography, trying to capture the countryside and all its different moods and character. Photography was my main interest, but I was accumulating hundreds of thousands of slides and thought that there's no point sticking them in boxes for nobody to see. So I sent some off on spec to Likes of Scots magazine. I got the usual sorry letters back to start with, but I kept pestering them, sending them in, and eventually they gave in and they took a few. Then I thought I would try the People's Friend. I sent some in to them, and again they took a few, and I think it was Colin Gibson at the time that was there. He wrote articles to go along with them. Margaret McCoy, the editor at the time, suggested that we meet up. I went armed with some slides to show her and some ideas, and she suggested that maybe put words to the photographs, as it would be easier to sell blocks of slides with the article as a whole package. I admitted to her at the time that that was well out of my comfort zone, doing the writing. She managed to put me at ease and said, try something from your local area first and see how you get on with that. So the first one I did was around Loch Leven, I think. It took ages to get it to come out, of course. I mean, if I got two sentences in a day, I was happy. But glad to say that it came easier after a while. And then from there, I got other suggestions, and eventually, I think it was Hilary Lyle was the features editor at the time, and she said, how would you like to go up Ben Nevis for us? And so I didn't need to ask twice for that one. Then I just made up lists of suggestions for possible articles, and they've accepted most of what I sent in anyway, and so it left me with a free rein to go where I liked and try and write something up about it. And you come back and you do the research, you find out all about the places, and it took me to places that I wouldn't otherwise have gone. I liked the hills, the Munros on good days, just exploring the country. I like to get away in the car at weekends, nip over to Oban or away up to Skye, and just exploring all the ins and outs, basically looking for photographs at the time. But that evolved into finding out about places and writing the stories about them. I still think I'm confident with the photography, but I'm still a bit, I don't know why folk think my writing's up to anything. Even after 1,000 articles, I was never too keen on the office and the surveying, but my life seemed to have been a bit upside down compared to everybody else's, in that they would go into the office and say, what a lovely sunny day it is, and look out the window. That just upset me, the fact that I was shut inside and couldn't get out. And then if it was raining, they would be upset, and I would be happy because I was in anyway. So, and then at the office, you were just doing things that you had to do. And then at night, I was being even busier because I was coming home and doing what I enjoyed doing, the researching and the writing. So everything seems to have been a bit upside down for me until I stopped, and then I could just do what I like doing. I always like to make sure that my facts are right, or as right as I can make them. I do a lot of reading from books. I've got about 3,000 or 4,000 books around the house, and I research them from them and also on site. Try and make sure that there's at least a couple references to this for different sources, so that it's not just made up by somebody before and no correct. I've had feedback from people in America, Australia, Canada, Africa, all over, and a lot from England as well. All people that have read the stories, and it's stirred up some memories from them. Maybe they came from there, or they've had holidays there, and it's always nice to hear from them. That's something that you never got when you were in surveying. It's nice to get the feedback. There's nothing I like better than to head off early in the morning, maybe 3 o'clock, and get away over to like some Mallee, Garrisig or Portree even, and get there before breakfast time, and then have the whole day there, and then just come back home again at night, about midnight. And it's a nice feeling just to go back to bed and think about all the places that you've been since you got up that morning. You can squeeze an awful lot into a long summer's day. I see that there's a new route, like the North Coast 500, planned for the northeast, going round Deeside, up round the Murray coast and back down the east coast. So I'm going to do that this year. I enjoyed taking the bike across to the island of Cumbrae this year, so I thought I would do a similar one maybe and go across to the island of Lyng. Take the bike across from Portappen. I always like to go to Portree and Skye. I think a year without going to Skye is a bit like having a dinner without tatties. Although it's getting awfully busy over that side of the country now, especially with the North Coast 500. So you need to plan your trips accordingly. I kind of write it out longhand. I don't write with the computer, but I just sort of piece it all together that way and jiggle it about, type it out, then redraft it until I'm happy with it. Always fancied the notion of doing this full time a long time ago, but I always remember the advice that I got from Tom Weir about 35 years ago. He was a friend of my dad's and he used to go walking and do Weir's Way and things together. He said it's very difficult to make a life or a living from photography and writing, adding that even Sir Walter Scott kept his day job. And that always sort of stuck with me. Probably that's why I kept my day job. I never venture much south of the border. The car always sort of comes out the garage and automatically heads north. But I do like the borders down Scott Country and Galloway and the Murray Coast and every part of Scotland, really. If you were to ask me what my favourite was, that would be a difficult one. It all depends whether you get on the day you're there and the mood you're in, but I enjoy the walks in all these parts of the country. If I had to pick a favourite, I think it would be the far northwest, up in Torridon and Assent and up that area. A lot of the things I write about, they're not time-related, so they could come in any time, really, to suit with whichever area they were covering. Unless it's an event like the Enchanted Forest or something that's a specific date. But most of them are of places and walks and things which could be done now or it could be done in 10 years' time. It's not likely to change. I've enjoyed doing each and every article, and they've all been different. I think it's true to say that I wouldn't have seen half the places if it hadn't been for meeting up with the people's friend. And my father was born in this house and my granddad built it back in 1912, so in with the bricks, as it were. Undoubtedly it was my dad that introduced me to all the off-the-beaten-track places in Scotland. He was a keen Munroist. He completed all the Munros. He was, I think, the 81st person on the official list to have done it. And, of course, all our family holidays were taken to places where there were hills, so they could nip up the hills and we were left at the bottom. It showed us all these places like Torridon and Skye and the Coolin and all these places that you wouldn't otherwise have gone if you'd just gone to the beach. We never had beach holidays. It was always where there were hills. It's thanks to him that I had my love for photography and travelling around the country.